الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصدقة تطفئ غضب الرب وتدفع ميتة السوء. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين رب العالمين. Respected brothers, alhamdulillah, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us a bounty of reading Salatul Jum'ah in the Masjid Asradi, alhamdulillah, in the Musalla, in the Jamaat Khana. We can gather and we can read Salah. With all that is going on around us, we should keep foremost in our mind the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That is definitely, and we should believe it in the recesses, in the deep recesses of our hearts, that more abundant shukr subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely and most certainly open the doors for more. And however, if we complain of the situation we are in, we complain of this virus, and we complain of what is going on around us, then this most definitely will be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lowering our bounties and making the bounties seem less. Yesterday was the 18th of Dhul Hijjah, was a Thursday as well. And I was told yesterday that I should give a bayaniya today. And at that time, what was going around all on social media and with regards to what was happening, with regards to a great important aspect which happened in the history of Islam, was on the 18th of Dhul Hijjah, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred. It was the day when the sword was taken out of the sheath of Islam, and the sword would never be put back again. In the Muslims and amongst the Muslims, there would always be fighting and disunity and infighting. However, that's not what we are going to be concentrating on today. The aspect we should be concentrating on is the life of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala, and the lessons we can take from his life. And the lessons we can take from this great Sahabi. The Sahabi who was given Basharat and glad tidings of Jannah on more than one occasion. Apply to us in this time. Many of the lessons which we can take from his life apply to us in this time. Now, a short history of who was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, is our Kabir and our elders mentioned that the mention of the pious and the mention of the Sahaba and the mention of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a great, brings a rahmat and the showers the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us, and is a means of elevating lot of calamities and lot of sicknesses and lot of wrongs in society. Just going off the topic, when a plague hit India, Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote a book regarding plagues. And many say that it was a result of this book that the community around him at that time was not affected by the plague. And this book which he wrote was regards to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So we'll just go shortly into the history of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And while we go into his story, we will take out those lessons which are relevant to us in this time, and which we can bring into our lives. The first and foremost is Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was born 6 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was about 6 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father was Affan, who was a leader of the Quraysh. He was so well known amongst the Quraysh that anyone who was connected to his father used to become the friend of the Quraysh. And Affan, he was extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. Some say when he left the world, he left behind 30 million gold coins. Some say 3 million gold coins. However, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was born into this family of great esteem and high standing. And he was born into this family, and his lineage goes from his mother's side, his lineage meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from his father's side, his lineage reads with Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, which also reads with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from both his mother's side and his father's side. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given Nubuwwah at the age of 40, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was around the age of 34, 35 years of age. And he was a very wealthy man, very respected in society, extremely handsome. When we were doing in our madrasa here, when we were studying Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, a book called Tariqh al-Khulafa, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an's description came in there. And after this description, mashallah, some students had dreams of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, because of the love that was put into the heart of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Anyways, he was a person who had long hair, and some say he had some golden teeth as well. He was extremely handsome. He was of medium height. Very close features to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Reddish in complexion. And they say when he used to stand in the sun, it should look like his hair was shining like gold, like how gold and silver shines. Anyways, he was the fourth person to accept Islam after Abu Bakr, Zayd and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And his story of acceptance is also one we can take lesson from. He was once walking in a marketplace, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an came to him, started telling him about the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He already knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his cousin. And after Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an spoke for some time, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, who told him, has as-sadiqul amin, the trustworthy one tell you this, meaning referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we must remember, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala had everything. He had power, he had authority, he had wealth, he had whatever he wanted. But this was not something which stopped him from accepting the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately. He was one of those very few sahaba who accepted the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the spot. He told Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, then most definitely it is correct. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was a person of a clean heart and clean livelihood even before his acceptance of Islam. He did not drink alcohol, he was extremely modest. And just as he said this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked past. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told him, oh my cousin, I think you should accept Islam. And he said at that time, Ashhadu, I testify that you are the last prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Going forward, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is now learning, he's accepted Islam, fourth person to accept Islam. And now the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is now engaged to the daughter of Abu Lahab, to the son of Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab comes to hear that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given Nubuwwah, and he breaks off this engagement. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says that Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anhu should marry Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Both are overjoyed. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha at the time was also overjoyed, and so was Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they get married and they have a child also, Abdullah ibn Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the call comes for migration to Abyssinia, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go. And he goes and he makes hijrah, and he comes back to Makkah after some time, and he makes hijrah to Medina. And during the second year of hijri, the battle of Badr took place. At this time, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had everything he wanted in Medina. He was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a wealthy person. He had all that he could wish for. And at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha falls ill. A few days before Battle of Badr, she falls ill. She comes up with a heavy fever. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he requests that he wants to go out for the battle of Badr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, you should stay behind and look after Nuqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the day that battle of Badr was won, that was the day that Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. And a few days later, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Uthman, also passes away. He passes away from an infection which he gained from an animal. Anyways, the ayat we mentioned, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. It's a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested the Sahaba, then most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. And Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala passes away, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back from Badr, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes to the qabr of Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu at this time is extremely saddened. It is mentioned that he was so sad, that he used to only come for salah. Another lesson is, no matter the condition, no matter what is affecting us, salah should not be neglected. Salah must be read on its time and how it's supposed to be read. And one more thing, which Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which we'll come to later if we have the time, was of the Quran and Majid. At that time he was reading abundance of Quran and Majid. He had great love of Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees this, that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is coming to the masjid. He's reading his salah, he's going home, he's not mixing with any people. He's extremely saddened. He's looking fallen. He's looking like downcrest, as they say. He's completely and utterly sad, and in his heart he is hurting. And at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to meet him and tells him, O Uthman, Jibra'il alayhi salatu wa sallam has come to me and told me that I should marry you to my other daughter Umm Kulthum. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu marries her, and she also passes away on the eighth year after Hijri. And again Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is extremely crestfallen and extremely sad, and again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to him and mentions to him that if I had 40 daughters, I would get all of them married to you. It is a short story of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, obviously Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa, and then Umar, and then Uthman. But the lessons is that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had three things in his life, which if we bring into our lives, we will get sukoon, peace, comfort. And anything which comes, any calamity, anything, any looting, anything which comes from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be able to tackle this. The first thing is love of the Qur'an and Majid and recitation of the Qur'an and Majid. Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi, when he was imprisoned in Malta, at that time he was imprisoned and he was imprisoned for many years, and in that time he wrote many things. But one of the things that he's written is that the reason the calamities are coming upon the Muslim Ummah is that we have broken our connection with the Qur'an and Majid. We have broken our connection with the Qur'an and Majid. An easy way to make our connection with the Qur'an and Majid is to first of all start off by listening to Qur'an and Majid. Many of us, we are unable to recite Qur'an and Majid. Or if you are able to recite Qur'an and Majid, it takes us a lot of time to recite Qur'an and Majid. However, if you listen to Qur'an and Majid, automatically this love. For example, if some of us listen to the Imams of the Haramain Sharifain, we listen to someone who recites beautifully, automatically it's built into our heart that I should open the Quran and I should recite the Quran. And we should make an effort, even if it is an ayah a day of reciting the Quran and Majid, we should recite one ayah a day of Quran and Majid. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, although he was the Khalifa, he had a habit that after everyone used to go and sleep, he used to wear a shawl and cover his body. So no one used to recognize who he was. And he used to enter into Masjid al-Nabawi, and he used to recite the Quran in one rakat. The entire Quran in one rakat. That is the first quality of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, is the connection with the Quran and Majid, and the connection with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The afdalu dhikr, the best dhikr, is that of Quran and Majid. One of the best dhikrs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that of Quran and Majid. By reciting Quran and Majid, the rust from our heart is removed. There's a famous story of one of our pious elders that he used to serve his grandfather, and his grandfather, he used to bring for his grandfather food and water. His grandfather used to live on the banks of the river. So once his grandfather gave him a basket in which you put eggs, It had a lot of holes in them. I don't know if you people seen in the farms. They had a lot of, they collect the eggs and or sometimes fruits even. But it's not a basket which is closed up. It has holes in it. And he gave this to him and he told him, go to the river and bring for me water. And this basket was extremely dirty. It was full of black ash or whatever. It was dirty. So this young boy looked at his grandfather and tells his grandfather, how do you expect me to bring water in here? So his grandfather tells him, just listen to your seniors. Just listen to me and bring water for me. So he goes, he fills that basket, what he can fill, and by the time he gets back to the house, there's no water left. His grandfather says, go again. And he goes and he comes and he goes and he comes. And after a few times, he realizes this basket has now become clean. This basket has now become like it's new, it has been revamped. So his grandfather tells him, the reason I told you to do this is to show you the effect of the Quran and Majid on the hearts of us. The effect of reading the Quran and Majid. The more we read the Quran and Majid, the more cleaner our hearts become. Automatically that rust and that sin and the desire to do and the whispers of Shaitan automatically will become less. Automatically our hearts will start pumping with Quran and Majid. It will start pumping with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will start pumping with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The love of the Quran brings all that into our heart. The recitation of the Quran brings all that into our heart. So the first aspect of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu I had was that of the recitation of the Quran and Majid. The second is that of generosity and giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I always say, no matter how much we have, and no matter how little we have, it does not stop us from giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is 1 rand 50 cents, a slice of bread, a loaf of bread, an entire land, an entire truck full, this is a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger being subsided, a means of every single Muslim's death becoming easy for him. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had this quality where he would seize up every single opportunity Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented in front of him. He would seize it to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslims moved to Medina, there was no access to fresh water. There was only one well, the well of Ruma, that was in Medina Sharif. And this well belonged to a Jew. And this Jew used to charge the Muslims. Or anyone who used to come to his well, he used to charge per bucket. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the plea and says, who will buy this well and in return they will get a well in Jannah? So many sahaba went, this Jew refused them all. Now Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was a very clever businessman. He was a very intelligent person. Because of his father, he used to do so much business. He was a very intelligent businessman. So he goes to this person and he says, how about you sell me half your well? So this person asks, what do you mean by selling? How can I sell half a well? So he says, no. You sell me half your well, meaning I will use the well for one day, and you can use the well for the other day. You can still charge how much you want for that well, for the day you using it, and I will then use the well for the other day. So this Jew accepts and says, I sell you the well for 12,000 gold coins. And he sells him the well. Now Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, look at his love of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as he buys this well, he says, on my day the water will be free. Automatically anyone who was going on the day the Jew was giving water automatically came onto his day. Because they never had to pay for water any longer. Now the Jew says, there's no one coming. So he comes to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and he says, can you sell me the other half? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and say, can you buy for me the other half? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala says, no problem. And he sells the other half for up to 25,000 gold coins. And that, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala gives it to the Muslim community or for anyone who wants water. And in return, he got a well in Jannah. The same thing, during the end of Rasulullah's life, Masjid al-Nabawi became small for the Muslims. So again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the plea, who is going to buy the land next to Masjid al-Nabawi so that it can be made part of Masjid al-Nabawi? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala immediately picks his hand up and he buys the land for 30,000 gold coins and he makes it part of Masjid al-Nabawi. The same thing we look again, in the time of Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the appeal for, they need goods and they need supplies for the war. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes with 9 camel loads. And at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, nothing can harm Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu after this. So the second quality which he had was that of generosity. And generosity can be, even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person is unable to give sadaqah, even a smile is a sadaqah. Even a smile is a sadaqah. If we know of our neighbor who is suffering, or if we know someone down our street who is suffering, or a certain family member who is suffering, and we are unable to help financially, we are unable to help in a certain way in which we can, then at least, if we are unable to help, at least we should go and visit the person. Give them some hope. Give them some encouragement. This in itself is a sadaqah. The third quality which Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had is that of modesty and haya. So the first two qualities were, one was love of Quran and Majid, one was of generosity. The third quality is that of modesty and haya. One of the main reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tests and tribulations to entire communities, whether they are pious amongst them or not, is the lowering of our modesty and haya. Many times a person will be walking in the street, there'll be a beautiful woman walking past and he does not lower his gaze. This automatically makes his haya of a lower level. The same thing when we are going to that website, we should think twice about it. Or the same thing when we are dealing with our customers who are of the opposite sex, who are female gender, we should lower our gaze. But that's not the only part of modesty. Modesty meaning to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every condition. That is modesty. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us at this time, and at this time, and at that time. Modesty. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on his bed and a portion of his leg was open, just to see how much modesty Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu enters, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him permission to enter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stays how he is. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu enters, and the same thing. But when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered the lower part of his leg and said, why should I not have modesty for this person whom the angels have modesty for? So automatically modesty is another means of rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down. So the three qualities we discussed was one is of the connection of the Quran and Majid. We should build our connection to the Quran and Majid. We should make a concerted effort, whether it is one ayah. If we cannot read the Quran and Majid, then even what surahs that we know, continuous recitation of that, automatically the rust and the dirt from our heart will come out. The second is that of generosity. We should try and give in any way possible to whoever we can for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another way that the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come and will be a means of alleviating what we are encountering at this time. And the third way is that of bringing modesty into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to bring what has been said into our lives, and give me the ability to bring what has been said into my life. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah.
أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا الله ولو بشق تمرة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصدقة تطفئ غضب الرب وتدفع ميتة السوء بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآية هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحاب من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم اصرف عنا هذا الوباء والبلاء الله الله في أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون
اللهم اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح قد اقامت الصلاه قد اقامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم اصرف عنا هذا البلاء والوباء. جزا الله عنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
Allah.